Okay.
Okay, so good evening and welcome to the Speed of Delaware Charter Operations Board meeting. We're continuing to utilizing Zoom as the platform to conduct a public meeting, given still the condition of the coronavirus and the stay home guidance for Delaware. So we do have quorum, so we're just gonna proceed with the agenda. Greg, if you can highlight, I guess, the middle portion of the agenda, so very quickly take a look. As we did in our last meeting, we're just going to really concentrate on the financial update as well as the Hero School update. We do have some, I guess, quick information regarding the high school construction. So Greg will kind of walk us through that update as well. So let's start with any questions on the agenda, any changes to the agenda? Okay, so Jonas sent the meeting minutes for the March, first meeting in March. Any comments or questions, updates to the agenda? I mean, to the meeting minutes?
None here.
No.
Can we proceed with a motion to approve the meeting minutes as presented?
Motion, Esparza.
Do I have a second?
Second, Patton.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Great.
Aye.
So meeting minutes approved. And we'll proceed with the agenda, and we'll just turn it over. Let's see the agenda again. Greg, please. So we'll turn it over to Greg for the financial report.
Okay, let me get this report. Hey, Lewis joined.
Great. Welcome, Lewis.
Here comes Eunice. Did it come up?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Great, thank you.
Is it up now?
Yes.
Yep. All right, so we're talking about March. So we're 75% through the year. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Mm. Honestly, at this moment, it probably is good that we were so into the year.
Yeah. So I tried to highlight all the points we normally talk to for our revenue. Excuse me. We're still with our state. We're still $103,000 to the good. We're at 8.5 is our budget. 8.6 million is what we have. So we're 101%. Our local. This is what we really want to watch. You'll see on the right. I highlighted the before and after care, the cafeteria, summer camp, and early childhood. So there's other buckets that, you know, we're obviously going to, you know, come in light on for the end of the year. But right now we're at 7.445 million as a budget. We're at almost 7 million or 94%. So considering we're 75% in the school year, we're doing very well. But we just want to keep an eye on that. And then our federal is still the same. And actually next month's report, you're going to see we picked up some significant funding. Every year, the U.S. Department of Education makes adjustments. So we're actually getting some increases in our FY20 funding. So that'll be a nice grab at the end of the year for us. But, you know, we're 100% there overall. $17.4 million is our budget. We're at 17.03. That's 98% for the year, which is solid. So we're right now $368,000 short of what we projected. Now, the nice thing is when all this started going down, I originally projected we probably would come in about $360,000 short. But I can tell you as of today, April 23rd, we're actually at 17.25 million or just $150,000 short of our original projection. And I will tell you, it looks like we're going to be getting some reimbursements for our purchase of care participants in our extended care programs, which also includes the ECDC. So, you know, we continue to get some good news. This is all trickling down from the stimulus package. And I do want to report that we did get the 150,000 PPL. So, you know, it's great. I mean, I'm very happy over because, you know, this was a major concern of mine and obviously Margie's and all of you, because we were, you know, obviously potentially going to lose about $7,000 today. So revenue side, we're doing well. When we get down to expenses, and I'll get into the detail in a few minutes, but again, the budget's 75% or less. We're under 17.26 million our budget. We're at 15.5, we're 73%. There are no variances to report, which is great. And then when you look down here, over here to under March, you see we spent a 1.89 million last month, but I believe Lewis was the one that brought it up. Our construction is obviously hitting now. So he asked specifically why the gap was so wide between the red and the blue. But as I said, we're going to see now that this red line trends more closely. So we'll get more in line with the budget. But we're going to finish under, which is obviously what we want to do. There is no change in the local funding. That's been the same for several months. We're 100%. And then when you look at your cash position, which again, as your year-to-date expense versus the revenue, which includes our fiscal year 19 carryover, 18.4 is where we're sitting right now with revenue. And we spent, as I just said, 12.5. So that's 68% spent versus all the revenues. So again, there's no concerns here at all. So when we get over to the expense detail, this is actually, it looks good. We always start off with salaries. 6.45 is our budget. We're at almost 5 million or 77%. I have the note over there about the three payroll months being in August and January. Total for other employment costs or OECs, 3.5 million is our budget. We're at 2.6 or 73%. So total salary costs do kind of equal out. Total travel, 1.04 million is a budget. We spent 824,000 or 79%. The only reason we're a little high there versus 75%, we paid the April 1 invoice from Sutton Bus at the end of March, and we just paid it. But we will only, we'll be right at 100% when we finish the year. And then
I was going to ask you, is there going to be any savings on the transportation side or on the busing side of things, given we're not busing people right now?
Yeah, great question. Only on this student travel and athletic travel. So what happened when all this went down, there is a big push to keep bus drivers employed, and the state supported it. So they basically told us if we don't pool funding, in other words, if we continue to pay, and the bus company, they have paperwork they have to fill out and submit to me, and then I submit it to DOE, as long as they're paying the drivers, which they are, we'll continue to meet our contract obligations because they obviously have fixed cost and all that. So it's basically going to be this student transportation line, we're going to be at 100% at the end of the school year. Great question. So for total contracted services, 2.29 million is our budget. We're at 1.3, only 57%. These are these next two buckets are where we're going to see some obviously cost saves by the end of the year. But I do have, any comments on the right where we would be considered over 25% of our budget for the year. Nothing that's alarming now.
Is there any, going back to some of this stuff, it's the transportation we get, and I'm guessing there are other services that are similar, but is there anywhere here where you have identified some savings, like for example, utilities and things like that?
Yeah. So when I looked at this back, and I think it was February or March or whenever this mess started, I think I pulled out like 200,000 expenses, and most of it was, again, it's not to fix costs. We shut the building down, so we expect to have utility savings and things like that. Obviously, when you get into like supplies, building supplies, office supplies, those are the types of things that we're going to reduce. Food is going to go down drastically, which is in the next bucket. But yeah, these are where anything that's not really a fixed cost and is an operating expense, which obviously this is an operating budget, right, a lot of it is based on being in the building, we will see some decreases.
Okay.
Well, I believe you took that into consideration, Greg, when you made the calculations to see how much we were going to be requesting.
Exactly.
That was part of that calculation. You remember when he presented the numbers, because we didn't go for the full amount.
Right.
That it was going to be a loss, but we adjusted for things that we knew most likely would generate some savings, and then limit the request that we made based on those assumptions.
Right, because the PPL, we only want to protect payroll, and we fully anticipate it's going to be forgiven. So that's exactly right, Loris. We only went for $150,000. Okay, so then for total supplies and materials, and again, this is where we'll see some cost savings. Like you see, food is at $163,000. That's not going to move a whole lot, obviously. I don't know how many other bills that are out there, but there can't be that many. They typically bill weekly or monthly. So this bucket, total supplies and materials, is going to come in a little bit light. Budget's $908,000. Right now we're at $524,000 for 58%. Then our capital outlay buckets, equipment, $110,000 is our budget. We're at 53. That will probably be at 100% by the time we get to the end, because we're obviously continuing with the high school. And then total capital outlay property, again, this will be 100% most likely, because again, this is a lot construction and the debt is already paid. So 2.88 million is a budget. We're at 2.2 or 76%. So overall, you know, budget wise, 17.26 million is budget for a year. We're at 12.5 or 73%. We're definitely going to come in under, but I'm going to keep an eye on it every day like I always do. Any questions on the expenses or any other part of the report?
I'm here.
Is there any area of concern? I mean, you as you went through it, you indicated that at this moment nothing is got flagging as a area of concern. And given that, on the contrary, things have become positive in terms of different sources of funding or flexibility on allocated money, particularly from the federal.
Exactly. And we really don't have a need to, what Doris is referring to, we could actually repurpose money, apply for a waiver, and understand a waiver would be basically approved overnight, like within 24 hours. So we could repurpose some funds right now that, you know, say consolidated grant, which is our federal money, we could potentially say we don't want to use it for this expense and use it for a different type of expense that's related to the COVID situation. I don't see the need to do that. The greater concern, and this is what the focus has been on our business manager meetings that we have every week, is obviously, and Lewis and I have talked about it, Marge and I have talked about it in depth, you know, what's going to happen with the budget, because we can all expect a budget decrease. I think most of you might know the state is $785 million in the red, which again, they're not generating any revenue. The nice thing is I've done a little research, and you know, Margie kind of pushed me on this because I wasn't around in 2008. I wasn't in the school system when the stock market crashed. But basically, you know, I've heard from the district side and the charter school side, it was a 2% budget hit with your state funding and some of the local. So it's not that bad. We can get by with that. You know, Lewis talked about, and I'm going to do some more work on it. Obviously, if we look at it now, that would be potentially, I think, about a $345,000 hit. So, you know, when I budget, I always budget on, I budget flat. So whatever our revenue is today, this fiscal year, I don't increase it. I always use that number and project forward. And then I'm always giving you guys good news when we get our funding, because I know it's going to go up, because every year the budget goes up, so we get more funding. So considering we've got $200,000 grants that we're finalists for, I'm feeling pretty good. And I knock on wood when I say that, because, you know, I'm always very conservative. But if that's the worst, that we get a 2% cut, it's all speculation right now. Every meeting I've been on, we had a meeting with DOE yesterday. No one can give us any answers. There's a rainy day fund that the governor can hit. I don't know everything that goes into it, but we all know that the budget will get approved by June 30th. So that's probably when we're going to find out exactly where we land. So I'm prepared to, I'm always working on different iterations. It's just what I do. I love crunching numbers, but I've got a flat or 100% like traditional method, the funding that we have now, we have it next year. I got a 2% cut, I got a 4% cut, and I didn't add the grant money because we don't have it yet, but I'm hopeful. I hope we're all hopeful we'll get at least one of them. And then I've been, I think, somewhat conservative on the capital campaign side. I only have like $100,000 a year. Considering we're going for a lot more than that, I think that's rather conservative. So if you're asking me right now, I feel pretty good. We can handle whatever happens. So.
Any other comments or questions for Greg?
Greg, a couple of questions. Do we have an update on repurposing the building? I thought we were talking about that at some point. And, oh, this is Eunice, by the way. I forget that, because my name is.
Eunice, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
Yeah. So I know there was talk about using the building to see if we can generate some revenue.
Yes. So the decision, we did not open the ECDC because we did not have enough interest from Rockford Center. Okay. And then we had, Nikki had sent out another survey to teammates, and there was nothing, like everyone was looking at a couple hours here and there. And it just really wasn't worth putting people at risk. So we decided we were going to hold off and not do it. And we also left the door open for Rockford, but they've not contacted us since the last call that we had.
Right. And then do we have an update on summer camp? Because I know that was another revenue generator.
So we're really hoping that we're going to be able to operate in the summer. I just don't know if that's going to happen or not. I will tell you this, Kelly has absolutely killed it again. Kelly Cruz, who oversees our extended care program, her numbers are higher for enrollment now than they were all of last summer, and last summer was a record breaker. So I actually saw her today. I had to go to the school, and two of my team members, actually Karen and Kelly, were both in there doing some work, but she was asking me about it. And it's a shame, because I wish I had an answer. I know we all want to have an answer, and I think that if we did open a summer camp, I actually think the enrollment would be even more significant, because I think parents want to get kids out of the house. But, you know, we just got to take it day by day. And I think the governor's decision, when he announces it, we'll be able to move down a better path. But we're ready to operate if we're allowed to operate, if I could say that.
What about the use of the cafeteria as a meal distribution site?
Hasn't been a need. We could have done that, but we have two schools almost within walking, within a mile on like Kirkwood Highway and Route 4. So when we did the survey with the families, we made sure they are aware of all feeding locations, because, you know, they all come from different areas all over Newcastle. And it just doesn't seem, again, it's not worth, if they're going to drive to our school, then they could stop short and stop on Kirkwood Highway or Route 4 and get the same meal. So we just didn't feel it was worth doing, because we, you know, we're a summer feeding authorities. We've only had, I think this number is right, like 14 participants over the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
And you know, the way that works is anyone that's a child, anyone 18 or under 18, doesn't matter who they are, they can walk up to the school and get a free meal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really because of our location. You know, we don't have many developments. No,
walking distance.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Great. So do I have a motion to accept the financial report?
So moved, Donald.
Do I have a second?
Second, Dow.
Any other comments or questions? Otherwise, all those in favor? Aye.
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 Financial report approved as submitted. So the next item on the agenda is, I guess from a development point of view, as you can imagine, with the school closed, there's not necessarily that many activities. I mean, Vivas Vida was canceled, which would have been our, you know, big annual fundraiser event at the school. We Lynn and I have continued to work with the Capital Campaign Committee. We had a meeting on April the 2nd with that committee. And honestly, we decided to give a pause through the month of April, given the circumstances that we're at. But Lynn and I continue to work behind the scenes from the perspective of continue to get lists of potential donors and kind of get organized to work through this, what is called the silent phase, which probably get us into the fall, to then proactively look into connection to potential big donors to support the campaign. And, you know, we'll plan to reconnect with the committee sometime in May and see where everybody's at. And, you know, as I said, utilize the month of the summer to make sure that we understand what are the mechanical logistics to reach out to the different candidates of the list that we have compiled. So things continue to move forward, but certainly in a much different way that we would have imagined. And I guess the other piece is continue to evaluate the financials and the reality of what is possible today versus the current budgets in terms of our ability to move forward. So more to come, and you know, most likely not until June or the August meeting that we'll have a more formal view of how the overall campaign and the strategy is really shaping up to move that forward. So with that, actually, I think it's a nice lead into Greg. How is the high school construction going?
Well, it's going great. I don't know. So I didn't check. Hey, Margie, did you have pictures for the update, for your update?
No, I didn't.
Let me, bear with me. I'm going to see if I can pull up some photos, but let me just share with you that the construction project is one truly true positive out of this. We've got floors going down now. I've told the admin team, I haven't talked to you guys as a group since a while ago, but walls are being painted, ceiling grids in, a lot of ceiling tiles up. So it really looks like a school. I'm actually going over Friday, tomorrow afternoon, once the construction company, the crew leaves, we're going to do a virtual tour. Paul Deladon, who is our facilities chief, him and I are going to do a virtual tour with a laptop or an iPad. So if I can get it to Margie, and we'll share that. But it's really looking great. And that's the one positive when I go there. It excites me. Yeah. So I think I mentioned in the last meeting, they had gotten way ahead of this thing and ordered all the materials. And basically all the materials except a few doors are already on site. So if companies stop manufacturing, they would not cause a delay. And it's pretty clear that, you know, knock on wood, that construction is not going to get shut down, especially with talk of, you know, reopening some of the businesses. So I think we can, again, knock on wood, but safely say this could be a project that ends up on time for once. So it's good news. I want to see if I can find some photos, so bear with me. But I'll certainly share the virtual tour once we get it done. All right, let me try this. So what do you see right now on your screen?
Black.
Okay.
You got to stop sharing the.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yep.
You see all those pictures now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me see.
See if you can do like a slideshow or something.
Well, you know, that's just a little beyond me. Hold on. Did I lose it? So it's open as a PDF. I don't want it to open as a PDF.
Just click open below open as a PDF. Just, yep, that one right there. See what happens.
It's coming up as a PDF.
It should open up and then you should be able to hit the arrow.
Now, Greg, go up to the top bar. I think there's view is one of the options after file, home, share. Does it give you the option of doing as a slideshow?
Try open with. There is when you right click, there should be an open with feature. So if you right under share, there is open with.
It open is with. Down. Okay. Here we go, right there.
Here we go.
And now you can select which one you want.
So this is way in the beginning. I don't know how many pictures you guys have seen, but this is obviously trenching that was going on for the sewer line. Let me see if I do this.
When you share, you got to make sure you're sharing the screen, not sharing the actual page. Because you can select whether you want to share the whole screen, and that way when you open a new window, you just have to make sure that whatever you're sharing is in that screen.
Yeah, I apologize again. I got to work with this more, but so I'm not sharing my screen right now.
Yeah, we can see all the pictures.
We can see the pictures, but it seems it's, like you it's you're small. You're only sharing a portion of the screen and not the entire screen, but.
Because you can select whether you want the whole screen. So anything you show in that screen will show, or you can select a specific window. So when you do the share, if you stop sharing and share again, select the screen share. It's just, if you have one screen, it should be just one screen. If multiple screen, it will tell you which screen.
Screen. Did that work? I know it's still small icons, but did anything change? It just said share screen.
Now try to open it. Yep.
Looks like it's working now. Yay.
Now we might be in business. Bingo. Thank you.
There we go.
So this was obviously demo. Uh-huh. I don't know. Did you guys see these before?
I haven't seen them.
Well, I'm going to keep rolling here.
Yeah, this is great.
Like that.
That was after a rainstorm. See the water?
Uh-huh. I see the eagle sign. The only club
was yes, yeah, I was going to say.
We kept that there.
I wonder whose idea was that.
That's all wide open here. That was a $21,000 Verizon trench. That's a joke. So these are small.
We can still see. Okay.
Try to go to the more recent ones, Greg, because now the walls are up and they're painting. Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting So someone said they hadn't seen any pictures. So.
Oh, okay, there you go.
But yeah, this is as the walls are going up and one side, and this is when it starts getting exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
This is the before slides.
Yay.
Oh, there's a lot of pictures. Paul does a great job of sending photos.
Oh, I can start seeing
classrooms. That's the utility room. It looks a lot different now. The server room, I should say.
So one quick question for you. So looking at all the stuff they're putting up a lot of drywall. So are they doing things to kind of makes the room soundproof? You know, because a school full of kids.
That's all part of it. So they insulate, and there certain areas do get more soundproofing, like around the the band or music area. Obviously around the cafeteria and areas like that.
Nice.
That's one of our new HVAC units. It's a nice sight, isn't it?
Big investments.
Oh, there's paint going up. There you go. There's my yellow, my blue.
Yeah. There's your blue.
Nice.
You see up here the ceiling grid and lights are going in.
Yeah. Great.
That's going to be a bathroom.
Bathroom.
That area is the cafeteria.
Nice.
This area is the warming kitchen. There's a floor. It looks like that one's upside. Oh no, that's ceiling grid. Yeah, that's ceiling grid.
Yeah.
That might be it.
Did I end?
Yeah,
I think so.
It might be. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Great to see. Great to see an update. Looking forward to see the video and the walkthrough. That would be great. Well, with that, Margie, turn it over to Margie for the head of school.
Let me go ahead and share. Okay, you guys can see that?
Yep.
So, all right. So enrollment, we have 90 kindergartners in the process of being registered. So they've all accepted the invitation. And Lilia and her team have created, they've worked very hard. And, you know, this has really been a learning process for us as adults, as well as for the children. But one of the things that we've been able to learn is, you know, how to use like PDF documents, like write in PDF documents, basically taking the whole registration process, which has always been a face-to-face, one-to-one type of process, and now taking it online and trying to get as much of the documentation done online so that we can then schedule times when families can come and drop off their documentation and things like that. And it's going to have to be sort of like a drive-through type of thing like we did with the distribution of Chromebooks. So we've done a great job with that. We got 68 ninth graders that have accepted the invitation. So they're in the registration process now. We are continuing to recruit more ninth graders, trying to hit as close to 100 as possible. I have reached out to some of our colleagues in the charter network, and so far one of the three schools that I requested help from have responded positively. The other two, it seems like it's going to be a yes, but I just haven't gotten confirmation. But basically asking that we be able to send a message to the ninth grade students that are on their wait list to just let them know that we are enrolling. You know, obviously in this environment, it's difficult to do our traditional type of marketing, because right now we would have been hosting some, you know, open houses, some face-to-face. Obviously when the building opens, we would have been hosting them at the site. So we're having to be a little creative in how we get the word out and continue to drive up that enrollment. You know, like we've always said, our enrollment goal is based on a total number. So we have talked about, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, as far as how we would shift enrollment around so that ultimately we'll still hit our enrollment goal, even if the ninth grade class is smaller than we had originally anticipated. But right now we're focusing on plan A, which is getting to 100 ninth graders or more. Any questions about that? The other thing was about the calendar. And actually, I'm glad that on the agenda, we did not specifically put on there that we were approving it today, which is actually good because we usually do review the calendar in our April meeting, and it's due to the Department of Education by April 30th, but they have postponed that. So they have pushed it to June 30th. Now, we have the calendar completed, and I'll show it here. Can you guys see that? Can you see the calendar now?
No.
So I got to stop and then I got to.
Make sure you're sharing the screen, not the document.
Yeah. You see it now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So just wanted to show you that the calendar is completed. We've created two versions. So this one, as you can see in the title, is the East Campus, which is our K-8. And then there's another document for the West Campus, which is our ninth grade class. For the most part, a lot of our dates do coincide. There are some differences in marking periods. At our East Campus, we're going to continue on a trimester schedule, which means, you know, we do report cards 3 times a year, but at the high school, we'll be doing it on a quarterly basis because we are going to have 4x4 blocks, which means students take, you know, courses for one half of the year and then the second half of the year. So, so because of that, you'll see some differences in the calendar based on marking periods. And then also when you get towards the middle of the year and then the end of the year, the ninth graders will have half days for midterm exams, and then at the end of the year, half days for finals, where that doesn't impact K-8. But I will email this to you guys so you guys can look at it and preview it. But what I want to be able to do, since they're not expecting the calendars to be submitted until the end of June, I want to see if, you know, the announcement is made between now and obviously our May meeting. And I'd like to present it to you in May for approval. Because now it seems like May 1st was given the date that something would be announced. Now it seems like maybe tomorrow is the day that something's going to be announced. So we want to at least hear what happens, what is the word from the governor, and then also what kind of restrictions we may be facing for the rest of this year, and then obviously the summer and the fall. And then just take one more stab at the calendar just to see if there's anything else we would want to tweak. So so with that said, I just wanted to you know, let you guys know that we'll look at that again in the May meeting for approval.
So Margie,
uh-huh,
in that calendar you had kids holding hands. We want to make sure they're not holding hands.
And they have masks on? Okay. All right. I'll change my graphics. okay. So go back to the agenda. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to share with you guys is our remote planning, learning plan. So Eunice, being one of our parents on the board, he knows this firsthand already, but I wanted to sort of walk you guys through what, you know, the plan looks like and what a typical week looks like in the life of an educator, but also what a typical week looks like in the life of an aspirante. And so let me take you to that document. This really takes some getting used to.
So a funny little story while you're bringing that up.
Uh-huh.
So with my schedule, I'll usually check their work after hours.
Mm-hmm.
And since they're in the computer, I also check their browsing history. So usually I keep them in the same kind of regular school hours. So at 3:30, they're done. So I look at his my Yassin's, my oldest browsing history, and he puts in what things to do when you're bored at home.
Great.
Awesome. You should start that as a Facebook challenge. Like, look at your kids' browsing history. It might go viral.
So
yeah, you might not want to do that, but
can you guys see that slide okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So this is every school and every district and every charter had to submit their remote learning plan to the Department of Education and directly to the Secretary of Education. And we did that and actually got a response immediately and a nice compliment. She was very happy with it. So we have outlined by grade level certain number of minutes that students should be spending on different content. So as you can see, there's a focus on core content areas, the language arts, math, and science. But every single day, we're also encouraging students to engage in physical activity. You know, keep in mind that most of our kids, really K to five, they all get 20 minutes of recess every single day. And then even our middle school students get 15 minutes of recess. So we want to encourage that. And what we also have incorporated in our plan is the choice activities. So our specials teachers, our health, PE teacher, art teacher, music and band, they also insert activities for students to engage in those different areas. And then there's always a read aloud or there's fun activities that they can choose from. We have outdoor learning in there. And then we have English learner support is incorporated in those choice activities. And then our culture and climate team, they provide social emotional learning activities, which they give to the teachers and then they incorporate it into their plan, which I'll show you shortly. So as you can see, it's a nice outline for parents and for students to follow. Obviously, it's a guideline. We can't monitor whether these actual minutes are happening, but the way we've structured the plan is with this time frame in mind. So students are not expected to be sitting at home, you know, on the computer for, you know, 7 hours a day as they would, you know, in a traditional learning environment. We're not trying to equal the same amount of time they would be learning as they would remotely. And so that's one of the changes there. Now, as far as to show you the week in the life of an educator, you know, at first we were gonna do sort of a day in the life, but we thought a week at a glance was really more valuable because there's so much that is happening each day. And so it starts out with Monday with all the teachers at each grade level. They are having Zoom meetings with their parents and their students. All of us have become very savvy with the Zoom, probably something that we're going to want to continue to use going forward. They respond to family communications, and we use email. We use the Remind software to communicate with families. They complete their scoring from the previous week, and they update the academic activity tracker, which is basically a document we created in Google Doc to in lieu of the online gradebook. So, and we've changed it to a pass-fail type of matrix. So the students are expected to complete certain assessments, and you'll see that when I show you the weekly plan, and then the teachers score that assignment, score that assessment, and then determine whether or not the student has passed or failed in that particular content area. So really trying to simplify it. But then the other thing that I really want to remind us all of is that most of our educators are also parents. So they're also juggling their kids being at home, and they also have to support the learning of their children in addition to other family responsibilities. So, you know, in between all of these different things that they're juggling with, being available for Zoom calls, being available for emails, phone calls, things like that, they're also balancing their other work, family responsibilities. On Tuesday, they have grade level team meetings. to start planning for the following week lesson. And they, you know, those are their PLCs, the professional learning communities, and they all come together and have input on their different content areas and activities. They all participate in scheduled office hours. So the regular education teachers, the special ed teachers, they all have specific office hours. And the way they're working it is that they actually log into Zoom. So they're just sitting there in Zoom. So if you're a student or you're a parent and you have a question, you just link into Zoom and you can then interact with the teacher and ask them whatever you want to ask them. So it's nice that if you'll see in the weekly planner that they have a specific time that each of them is available. And then they also continue to respond to family communications. They begin working on the next week's lessons. And then on Wednesday, they attend grade level team meetings with their supervisor. So Jose and Brian, Kristen are very much engaged in those meetings. They continue to score student work as it becomes available and have Zoom meetings. And then Thursday, they finalize their weekly template and checklist. So the timeline we've created is that the teachers are asked to complete their weekly plan by the end of day Thursday, because as you know, our school is unique and it has that extra layer of complexity, which is making everything available in both languages. So by them having complete that plan by Thursday night, we then hand it off to designated team members on the team that then translate it. And this is a great example of how we really have brought the entire team into the process. So, you know, people on Greg's team, for example, that, work in different capacities, whether it's nutrition or facilities, but they are Spanish dominant, you know, they're able to help with translations and have a role in this process, which has been really valuable to them. And then Friday, for the most part, Friday ends up being an off day for the teachers. And that's, you know, when we hit our calendar, we had to be mindful of the fact that teachers, you know, the expectation is that teachers work 190 days. Really, it's a minimum of 188 days. Usually our teachers work about 190 days. But we had to then shave off some days there. So for the next several weeks, they end up having Friday off technically. But as you can see, they are still making themselves available to email and remind messages and still monitoring student work, looking at their exit tickets, which is the assessment, and also ensuring that their students are completing their iReady. And then they hand off the information for translation. So that's sort of a broad look at what the educators are doing. Then for the students, what I wanted to do is, using first grade as an example, and what I want to do is actually go to our website so that you can see it firsthand. And why don't I see the website? Let's try that again. So if I go here, okay, and I go here. There you go. Okay, so now you can see the website. We've added this icon right here, Learn at Home. So as a parent, a student, you can go in and go to this page. And the first thing it's going to show you is this overview that I already shared with you. Can I scroll that down? Okay. So it gives you the overall plan that we talked about. But then you can go to first grade. As you can see, we're just wrapping up the fourth week of remote learning. When you go there, you can see the document is in English and it's also in Spanish. We're going to go to this first document in English. This is the more detailed weekly plan. So as a student, the first week, this is what they would get. And there would be a nice little message there, a nice positive message. There would be a daily warm-up. And for our first graders, when you click on this icon, it takes you to YouTube, and it's a cute little moon song that they can sing. And then when you go into the actual content, and so you can see the amount of work that the teachers have had to put into this. This is Miss Markle, one of our first grade teachers. So in this particular lesson, they're working on the ES sound. I won't show you the whole thing, but as you can imagine, everything that the teacher would have been doing in the classroom face-to-face with students, they're now putting onto video. So our teachers have basically created little classrooms in their homes. You know, you'll see this throughout the different grades. Then, let's see, okay. And then what they have then is in Spanish, oh, come down here, so that's English. And then when you go to the Spanish, and the person speaking is a paraprofessional. So that's another example. So the narrator is actually a paraprofessional that supports first grade, and then it's the teacher that you actually see in the video. So once again, everybody on the team doing their part and supporting the remote learning, which obviously takes a lot of time and effort. And then as you go through this template, you'll see that what the teachers have tried to do is just like in our regular traditional learning environment, students focus, are immersed in one language on one day and then the second language on the second day. So that's the way they've outlined it for remote learning as well. And then they've also included, as I mentioned, exit tickets. These are the assessments to make sure students know, understand what they're learning. There's reading, there's writing, there's math activities, and each one of those are links. Science and social studies alternate, and I'll show that to you in the weekly. And then you have this stuff, the specials. So you can see music. There's a YouTube channel where the students can actually do some music class, distance learning. And then the library is also part of their specials. Then they have an activity that the PE teachers have put together. They have a push-up challenge going on. So, you know, making sure that physical activity is part of it. And then for our students that are English learners, there's additional support tier for them as well. And our English learner teachers have office hours, and they're also doing small group instruction remotely as well. There's the read alouds, there's all the information. So very detailed information. And so that was the first, when we first rolled out the remote learning plan, that was the format we did it in. But then we, you know, got some feedback that it was getting a little bit hard for parents to really be able to support their child in understanding, like, what should they be working on when? And, like, when do I know that they've completed everything that they're supposed to complete it? So we borrowed an idea from another charter school and actually then created the, where am I? Have to like go to the page first. Hold on. I go here.
Margie, I have to say the online learning has been exceptional.
Yeah.
It brought so much purpose to like our time at home. And now that we have two schools to compare it to, I can only hope my sixth grader is keeping busy because the boys are occupied and the even like
Miss
Bachier's art lessons are wonderful. And Mr. Holbach, I really enjoyed his. Like,
oh, good.
Not just the teams, but the I tell my kids, these teachers are putting in so much work. We're doing everything. It's so, so wonderful.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm sorry, I overlooked the fact that you're also a parent. So it's nice to hear you guys giving, you know, your perspective. This is the weekly checklist that we created after week one. And so we've gotten some positive feedback from our families about this because now it's more of a to-do list and it's broken out by each day. So even though, you know, our initial thought was let's give the families the flexibility and the students the flexibility to do what they want when, but the reality is that they really wanted some structure, right? So this has actually been really well received. So now when you're supporting your first grader, you can see that, you know, on day one, on Monday, we're gonna start with the moon song. And then we're going to move on to these English language arts activities. Math is done every day, but as you can see, science and social studies rotate. And then we rotate between English and Spanish, et cetera. So this has been a really nice addition. So that in a nutshell is basically sort of a week in a glance for a teacher and also a week and a glance of a student. So it's a lot. And so, you know, I will say that we've had a lot of discussions about, you know, what's the next step? You know, are we going to open on May 18th? If we do, what's that going to look like? If we don't, what's that mean? And, you know, like I said, it sounds like maybe tomorrow we're going to hear something. But one thing that I will say is that with all the work and all the that went into creating this remote learning plan, you know, we're starting to build some traction and there's some nice momentum going. So there's a lot to be said about letting that continue, because the reality is, let's say we go back on May 18th, we anticipate that that first week back in session is going to be like the first week of school. It's going to be a lot of reminding people, the students, about expectations and routines and things like that. So that whole week will probably be lost as far as instruction. So that means the second week is when we actually get to go into instruction. And before you know it, we're breaking for Memorial Day weekend. And so the reality is in school, the last trimester, the last marking period really ends the end of May. The month of June is more for the social emotional stuff. It's the fun stuff, the field day, the academic celebrations, all of that. So the reality is that if we go back to school on May 18th, at most, we're going to probably get 5 days of instructional time in. In comparison, if we stay in the remote learning environment, we feel that we can actually make some better gains. It's very different. There's still going to be a gap in our student learning. We realize that. And, you know, we started talking already about what summer would look like, in addition to the summer camp, actually being able to open up a summer school program. And have students come in and try to, you know, close that gap as much as possible. And using remote learning to some capacity as well, because I think if you look on the bright side of what we've learned from this whole situation, being forced into a remote learning environment is actually a blessing in disguise. I mean, it's something that we can now integrate into our plan and our curriculum going forward, so that we can actually make some gains in the future when the school year is not disrupted. So some good stuff going on. So obviously, I just want you to see that all the work that's going on behind the scenes, we have an amazing team. And that's why it was important for us to continue to keep them on the payroll and together. And everybody is pitching in, and it is really amazing if you go into any of the Zoom calls and you get to sort of hear the interaction. It's been amazing, and we've even conducted IEP meetings through Zoom, and that's been really positive. As a matter of fact, Kristen predicts that we probably will have parents that going forward want to use Zoom all the time for IEP meetings, because they're so productive. And allows, it's just more time efficient because they don't have to travel to the school, and it allows teachers to do the meeting during the school day during their planning time. So it's just really efficient. So any questions?
Do you have any concern about how many families are actually participating in the online
learning? Oh, that's it. Thank you for bringing that up, Sarah. So, you know, after the first week, we took a temperature check, and we're like, you know, grade by grade, we asked each of the grade level teams to tell us what their level of participation was. And it varied anywhere from like 50% to 70%. Mm-hmm. We definitely were not at 100%. And so we took that information, we made contact with all the families that had not, students had not plugged in yet. And to find out what is the barrier? And if the barrier is that they don't have access to a device, then let's get them the device. So we actually did multiple distribution sessions at the school. I think it ended up being a total of 6 or 7, Greg, but we distributed close to 450 Chromebooks. So we made sure that was not the barrier, right? And now if the barrier was getting access to reliable high-speed internet, there was some options for that as well. INL, our IT person, he actually established a phone number through Google, what is it called, Greg?
Voice.
Google, huh? Yep.
Google Voice.
Yeah, exactly. So as opposed to people having his cell phone number, they have this number. And so he now is a walking helpline. So you know, it goes to his cell phone, but it's a different number. He's able to troubleshoot with students and with parents that are having difficulty getting onto internet, or if they're trying to access a hotspot, he can walk them through it. So that's been really good to sort of iron out that wrinkle. So once we eliminated the internet access as a barrier and we eliminated the device as a barrier, then it came down to motivation, right? Mm-hmm. So then it was making contact with those students and really getting the whole team involved so that the special ed teacher, the paraprofessionals, the culture and climate team, multiple people were making contact with that student. And so now we have 946 students, and it came down to 8 students that have not been participating, 8 out of 946. Wow. So, and those 8 students, we have not, they have not returned our calls. The parents haven't returned their calls. So Greg actually went to the post office for me today or yesterday, Greg?
Today.
Yeah. And we mailed them certified letters. So, you know, we drafted the letter and let them know, hey, we know that this is a challenging time. We're all working really hard to make sure our students continue to succeed in their learning. You have not been responsive to our phone calls, to our messages. You need to get a hold of us, you know. Mm-hmm. So we sent them out certified return receipts so we can verify, you know, what is the situation. You never know. Maybe some of those kids actually moved out of state and we don't even know.
Right.
So that's a really good ratio. So, and that's really been a team effort to really reach out to every single one of the students. And the supervisors themselves, the administrators, have been making phone calls also. And I think, you know, it wasn't, in some cases, it was just a matter of explaining things. You know, students, I think, felt a little overwhelmed. In some cases, they thought it was optional that they participate in remote learning, and we're like, no, this is school. This is your learning right now. So it's been good. So I'm proud to say that, and actually, when we met with the Department of Education, that's the other thing I wanted to mention, is that in addition to submitting our plan, we have biweekly meetings with the Department of Education, and yesterday we had our first one. And it was really nice to just have a check-in and sort of bring them up to speed as to how we're doing. They seem very proud of, very, you know, impressed with everything that we've done so far. And one of the questions that came up is, what's your participation level? As of yesterday, I thought it was 15 students that we were sending letters to. But between yesterday and today, we actually got a hold of 8, I guess, how many letters you send out? 8,
we
right?
Sent out 8.
So we got a hold of 7 of the families. So that 15 went down to 8. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. We're doing pretty good. Any other?
I just wanted to say that's extremely impressive, the plans and the detail, mm-hmm, and the different systems you have for organizing them. I'm extremely impressed. I spend 15 minutes every morning getting my son's schoolwork organized, and he's 15. But it's just, the school just doesn't have this, you know, organization. So it's really impressive.
As a parent, I would say I agree. And I can tell you that for me personally, the checklist was a God saver, because I was a little lost the first week. So this checklist was helpful because I get things ready for them the night before. In the morning, they have all their work ready because I'm at work the rest of the day, especially with the little ones. So this was really helpful. If I were to add just one thing, and I know it's a little bit challenging, one thing I feel like they're missing is that whole social aspect that, mm-hmm, they usually get in school. And I know it's hard with all of them being cooped up in their homes. So just a suggestion, and I know Zoom has
Kid a happy hour
where they can
Kid happy hour.
That's a good point.
No, I'm not joking. Get those kids some juice boxes, get them on Zoom, and have them play some games.
You had a school spirit last Friday. So did people participate on the school spirit?
We did. It got better as the week went on. But we had a school spirit week last week, and each day we asked people to post a picture of themselves doing something different. So one day was Crazy Hair Day, which is Wednesday. I saw the most pictures posted for the Crazy Hair Day. The kids seemed to get into that. But it was, you know, Friday was like, you know, wear your Aspida spirit wear and take a picture. So, and then this week we're doing Green Week, you know, so we are trying to layer some of those other things that we would normally be doing if we were in the school setting. But that's a good point, Eunice. I was on a call earlier where other charter schools were sharing some feedback. And at the high school level, one of the schools was sharing that they incorporated club time on Fridays. Mm. So these students that usually participate like in chess club or, you know, drama club, et cetera, they actually have time on their schedule Fridays to connect with their clubs. And they were saying how much they appreciate that because that's sort of their social time.
So a couple of thoughts on this. And, you know, I said the happy hour thing somewhat tongue in cheek, but I actually kind of meant it in terms of trying to organize. I mean, not that you need one more thing to do, but organizing some meetup events by grade level or something like that, that could be great. I've seen people, and maybe this is something for like kids that are slightly older, you know, that's kind of where my attention is, but I've seen people do like table readings, you know, with their friends of like plays and TV episodes and things like that. So everyone gets together online and reads the script and everyone reads different parts. And it's, you know, it's just fun because it's one of the few things you can kind of do in this environment.
Sure.
I think fifth grade did a fifth grade hangout in their Zoom schedule for the week. I think Thursday was reserved just for all fifth graders to come in. I was on a Zoom call with 72 second graders yesterday, and that was crazy, but it was wonderful because they mute them all, they read a book, and then they kind of shut it down. Because as soon as you allow questions to come, you're stuck. So I think each team might be noticing that, and that, like I said, the older ones are probably the ones begging for it.
Sure.
So I think fifth grade did do a hangout today. Yeah. How many people were on the call? I don't know. I walked out of the room.
Do you all use breakout rooms at all? Do the teachers use breakout rooms?
They do, and that was part of their training as we showed them how to use breakouts. And that's the other way that we've been able to use more of our team members that don't normally support instructional support is they actually are supporting the grade level team so that they can be one of the adult supervisors in the breakout. So when they break out, they're not just sitting there just talking, you know, that we actually have somebody to make sure they stay on task. So that's been a really good way to sort of optimize the whole team.
We've got our new board member.
Nice cat there.
Hey, Marge.
Is he called the Phantom of the Opera?
Her name is Zora, with like the Zorro with a little.
Oh, I gotcha. That's cool. Sorry, Mr. Patton. Yes.
FYI. And you may know this, but Michelle Obama is doing a storytelling every Monday at 12 o'clock on PBS.
Okay. That's
so cool. I have my third grader, my grandson, sitting there. He actually enjoyed it. His first Monday was this Monday, but it'll be every Monday at 12 o'clock.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, thank you.
And just to add to that, just for the people that don't know, the library has two sites that you can use to read online books as well. Mm-hmm. So I know we used to have Saturday Library Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had to find alternatives, and that was one of them.
Yeah, that's good.
So these are free resources.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So Margie, once again, I mean, some of the board members have indicated my hats off to you and the staff and the team. I'm in awe of what's been put together so quickly. And every version of it, you can tell is better. So obviously people are fully committed and fully engaged on really supporting, I guess, the new normal that we have to work through at this moment. And talking about, you know, how people have embraced it, I agree with you. I like to think that none of this is waste or for naught. And I know that, some schools, for example, for some time have talked about they no longer have snow days, they just have cyber days. Mm-hmm. So now that we know and have the infrastructure, is another way that in the future you can utilize the resources and the tools that have been put into practice right now because we were forced to. So it's just something to think about.
I agree. So in closing, I just wanted to share some more good news with you. So we recently received a press release from the Department of Education that our school was being recognized as one of the state green schools. So I just gave you an excerpt there from the press release where it says that Delaware schools are, the U.S. Department of Education names Delaware schools as Green Ribbon School honorees. Now at the national level, it was actually Odyssey and Ursuline that received national honor. But then it says there in the second paragraph, Delaware also will recognize Indian River School District, Las Americas Aspida Academy, which, by the way, they had a typo in the name of our school, but Charter School, Red Clay, Cook Elementary, and St. Anne's. They were state winners, and they were going to be celebrated in the fall. So that was some nice good news. And as you guys know, Sarah here on our board was a big part of starting our whole green initiative. Nikki Sturgill was definitely a big part of that. And then from there, a green team was developed, and really the whole school has really embraced this whole idea of becoming, better ambassadors of our earth. And the application that Nikki Sturgill has submitted, it was really nice because it highlighted all the different ways that we're supporting being more green, everything from the food that we serve to how we dispose of our food, to the garden, to all the different things that we're doing and trying to have more native vegetation in our school property. So it was really cool that very few charter schools get that recognition. So that was a nice news to get.
Congratulations. Great.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions for Margie for the head of school report? Okay, well, with that, I think that we are ready to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Do I have a motion?
A second, Santiago.
Do I have a second?
Second, Santiago.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Well, once again, my appreciation for everybody for your commitment and participation. And I think this is the way we're going to do it probably another month. So see you in May.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night, all.
See ya.
Bye-bye.